right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. How are we feeling on a Tuesday afternoon?
Last day, boys. Yesterday was the viewing. Final service today. And it's game over in Leafland. We're not doing it. We're doing Jays. We're doing other stuff. Playoffs. Battle of Alberta. This is the last day.
So this is it.
You got something to say. Wow. Yeah. You got something to say. It better be good, and it's your last.
We got lots to say.
We got lots to say, but I believe I know what you're saying. Like, let's put the body away, all of that type of stuff, and you know, have our mourning. But I'm telling you, lots of changes are coming. Like and they're going to give us news to talk about. That's the way I believe.
That's what you picked up on today. You picked up on changes coming.
No.
I picked up on sleepwalking down there. Like everything's. So you think they won the cup over the weekend?
You know my opinion on them. They win every press conference. That's just how that's how it is. They've got great PR people there. They're well-spoken in that. You can have as much lip service. I think there is changes coming and need to come. And I'm not talking about breaking cores up in that, but they have to identify what they have to do to get over the hump. But I think there is – my point is there's going to be topical stuff coming up.
The guy's shaking his head. Okay, let's hear it.
But I'm trying to figure out –
do you want to get to a clip first and then respond?
No.
Hayes. Let's play – the news of the day was Shanahan coming out immediately and saying what he said about Dubas and Keefe because there was a lot of debate. Maybe the coach – I never thought Kyle Dubas was in trouble, but there was a chance with them extending the pressers an extra day that – maybe Sheldon Keefe with other coaches out there, Barry Trotz and DeBoer, Joel Quenneville, although we're not really certain what his status is.
Right.
And Shanahan came out, and just like he did a year ago, this is how he started talking about their security.
Certainly, as we look forward to next year, there's always going to be new faces. That being said, we will not be making changes just simply for the sake of saying that we made changes.
So he went on to say that, you know, Kyle and Sheldon are a big part of how we're going to go about doing that. So basically they're home safe, they're home free, and it's a three-headed monster. It's Shanahan, Dubas, and Keefe, and they're going down with the ship together, or they are going to be seeking redemption, and this team's going to break through, and they're going to win, and at that point, they can stand up on that stage and gloat as much as they choose to because they will be deserving of that. But there's your news that those three are all coming back, Shanahan, Dubas, and Keefe. And, you know, Shanahan said we're not going to make changes just for the sake of making changes, which is a statement. It's somewhat of a throwaway comment, but it wouldn't be changes just for the sake of changes. You haven't won anything.
Right.
You can't keep losing and then say, well, we're not going to make changes just to make Brian Hayes happy because he's yelling and screaming. You haven't won anything. Like, we talk about blue and white disease. That's all I could hear down there was, like,
it did have a vibe, Hayes.
We're great. It's all good. It's like, am I losing my mind here? Did you not lose Game 7 or what happened?
It did have a vibe.
Did I see something different?
It did have a vibe of a team. And listen, when you lose again in the first round, you got to come up with some stuff to say. I understand that. But it did have a vibe where it's like 3 years in a row, they were in overtime in Game 7 of the conference finals.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it
exactly.
was like, we are just one, like, big moment away from getting to the final. And it's like, no, you don't get out of the first round.
That was my takeaway, was that it sounded the exact same as last year. They could have just rolled the tape after the Montreal presser. This one was a little bit more subdued, but basically it was, we're good, we're happy, we're a regular season success, and we played differently in the playoffs, and we had a different vibe in Game 7, so even though we lost, that doesn't matter. We're not changing anything. Like, that doesn't mean there won't be change. Whoever wins the Stanley Cup is going to make changes.
Right.
Every year there's changes. That doesn't count. If you're bringing back the same group top to bottom effectively, the skeleton of what you believe is going to get it done, then you're not actually making changes.
Yeah, and don't just think that today is the be-all and end-all of it. Like, And I'm not saying people are going to get fired or deserve to get fired, but there was press conferences with the Raptors where it was like they rolled Dwayne Casey out and 2 days later they canned him. You know what?
This isn't like final.
This is what we're coming back with training camp. These people understand that they can't get over the hump in the first round and they got to do something different.
I agree. That's where I was trying to get to. Maybe I misworded it. I think change is coming, and whatever lip service was said today or whatever type of stuff.
That was just keeping the flies off for today. It's like, what the hell else are you going to say?
That's what I felt.
What change are you saying, though, Noodles? Like, are we talking like Tavares is getting dealt? That's change. If it's, hey, Spez is not coming back.
Who do you think is going to take on John Tavares' contract?
I'm using him as an example. I'm just asking Noodles. You keep saying change is coming. What do you think we're talking about here?
I would be
like
shocked.
Like the magnitude of change.
Okay, so I know Kyle said he expanded on just everyone was asking about the call at the core four, and he said, well, our core is bigger than that, okay? I'm not convinced that everyone in his bigger core is coming back, personally, because I think if there's a lateral move to be made where a player brings a different dynamic, maybe the same type of price point or the same type of point production in that area, but plays a little bit different, you have to explore that. Because
he said they're not doing that. That's from his mouth.
No. He said that there. He goes, we have to explore everything. That's what I got out of it.
I heard the comment, Dubas saying, just to make a lateral move for something different, I don't know how interested I am in that.
Well, he's got to be interested in all everything has to be on the table.
Exactly.
And I'm going back to, I'm not even taking the lip service today. I'm looking at them doing a forensic audit of this organization and saying, okay, yeah, we believe we're a very good team. And I'm not going to challenge that. They are a very good team.
Absolutely.
Do tweaks have to be made? Absolutely. But there's no guarantee. We could wake up tomorrow and Jack Campbell goes, I want $7.5 million a year. Well, you have a new starting goaltender next year. Like that, there are things that are going to change just based on either contractual, you have to be mindful. And this is, you said this best yesterday, Brian. Like, you have to be ruthless. They might look at a player and go, you know, Jason Spezza, we love you. You're 38. We're waiting for the wheels to fall off. We might have to move past you.
See, that to me doesn't count. Like that's not change. Like that, with all due respect to Spezza, I think he's been
time.
That's
right.
Obviously for $750, we're gonna move on. He didn't start the series in the lineup. Like that doesn't count. Anything you're talking about is transactional that happens in every league every single offseason. It has to. The best team in the league does it, the worst team in the league does it.
Right.
That's not uniquely Maple Leafs while we're changing something. If Campbell comes in and goes, I'll only accept this and you walk, that doesn't mean they want it. Him to leave.
Right.
It means it became a priority because he made it that way, because he wouldn't stay unless he got his price. Like that's what I'm driving home here is, you know, we can say change, of course change. You know, would I be surprised if Kerfoot got dealt or Engvall? No, I wouldn't be. If Campbell's not back, I think he will be. But if he's not, it wouldn't be a shock. I'm saying if Shanahan, Dubas, Keefe, the four up front, Riley, Brody, Muzzin are all back, you've got the same team. Like that's the same spine.
I get it. I didn't hear
that that's changing today. I didn't hear that.
Well,
like it might, but I didn't hear that today.
I agree, but I think that it's on the table. And to me, if there's what I call a lateral move, and again, I'm not trying to run people out of town, but if it's William Nylander for JT Miller, that type of different type of change, you know, where both players are really good players and, you know, and just different types of players. That's what I'm talking about. I think everything has to be on the table because I don't think they run that same spine back. I could be wrong. But that is the definition of insanity, is keep rolling it back. Yeah, I think they need to change some of the bottom of their roster. I've said that all along. I think, you know, a guy like Pierre Engvall gets pushed out of games because he's 6'5" and he's soft. That's me. Yeah, he scored 15 goals. I'll take a 12-goal scorer that goes hard to the net. Nick Paul's a 12-goal scorer. You know, we saw what he did in a critical game using his body. Like, that's going to change. I think they are going to change stuff like that. But it might be a scenario where a guy is available because of cap, because of his pending, you know, contract status and all that, where they have to take a good hard look at maybe changing the dynamic of, you know, I don't think, obviously, Marner and Matthews aren't going anywhere. I don't think JT is going anywhere. But maybe it is William Nylander. Maybe it is somebody. Maybe it is Kerfoot and somebody else that you're like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. But I think change is coming, personally.
Yeah. Well, again, I think change is coming also, Noodles. But I want to know the magnitude of the change.
Fair.
Because, again, I can't get away from the we're not going to just make changes for the sake of making changes. You haven't won anything.
Right.
That would be why you change. Right?
Like, right.
This is blue and white disease. Everyone blames the media and the fans for giving these guys free passes, for making them superstars when they have a big preseason. Shanahan and Dubas sat up there and talked about these guys glowingly. They haven't won anything.
Right.
Like, they had a great regular season. They've got a very good team. No one is suggesting blow anything up. No one's saying you start from scratch with a five-year plan and we'll see where we're at in 2027. But you keep having the exact same result with the exact same press conference.
Right.
Nothing is changing, you know, from that standpoint. And that doesn't mean something won't pop up. And then at that point, maybe you entertain it. And we don't know exactly what's going on in the boardrooms. And I don't dispute their frustration. But what I heard from Shanahan today was someone who's stubborn. Like, he's come up with a plan. He's committed to the people. And he's convinced ownership this is what is going to lead us to the promised land, and he's not going to make that adjustment, right? Like,
they've all put themselves under the gun, Brian. They've all put themselves under the gun. You want to run it back and say, this is what we're doing, this is what we got, then sooner or later someone looks at all of you and says, okay, you guys keep telling us that they're going to get it done and they don't, which I actually thought might have been this year.
With you on that. But listen,
so it's like they understand what's going on next year. It's like if they have to have, I don't even know if they have that press conference next year, because if they lose in the first round again, what the hell are we talking about here?
Okay, let's look at other organizations. I know Vegas isn't the one to circle as far as their long history. They didn't make the playoffs 1 year. That's it. Coach is gone. Like, we're, you know, you're looking at different things. Like, to me, I still think they have to have something that jars the group. Now, again, what is that? Ryan, you laid it out yesterday. It was coach, it's player X, player Y, you know, that type of thing. I think that's coming. You don't have to say that today, unfortunately.
No, you're right.
You can't do it yesterday.
But that's the thing. Like,
right.
Why?
Hayes never played. He doesn't understand that.
That's not about
that. Grace, it is.
I get it. I mean, listen, it took a while for DeBoer to get let go. It took a while for Trost to get let go, right? It wasn't right after the season.
Right.
They let it breathe for 2 weeks.
Nobody's going to accuse Kyle Dubas of being a liar if he does something 2 weeks from now and they go, hold on a second, you said back 2 weeks ago. Like, you know what I mean? They are just trying to take an assessment of what's going on right now. And I think when the dust settles, they are going to be, you know, the draft's coming around the corner. Again, the cap is still flat. It's going up $1 million. Like, you're not going to have a ton of money to work with unless you start being creative. And you're not, again, hey, go out and find the next Andre Kasha and Michael Bunting. Great. But there's no guarantee that Kasha can be healthy. He might not even be in your mix next year. He's an RFA. You know, Bunting had a great season, but is it guaranteed that he's going to roll it back and be a 65-point player? Like, you know, everyone had, 12 guys had career seasons last year. I don't know if they'll get 115 points next year. I don't believe they will. Maybe they get 100 or 102. Doesn't make them a bad team.
I don't even care. I just want them to get
in the 8th
seed.
I think the team has to look different. The team has to look and feel different. And to me, you know, watching certain players where it's like, okay, I'd rather that they dig in certain scenarios, didn't do it. You got to find a way. You've got to find players that will.
And that's on them to evaluate that and to attack it. Like, things are going to change. It's not, you know, no roster ever just completely turns over. So that is going to happen. And listen, I get why they're stunned. Everyone's stunned. You know, everyone was stunned against Boston and Columbus, and Montreal was the ultimate shock value.
Right.
You know, I don't know how you're still as stunned today as you were a year ago or the year before. I guess that's my takeaway.
Yeah.
Because last year, as much as it was difficult to chew on, there was a part of me that could sit there and say, weird COVID bubble, short year, and they choked it away, and I don't know what that was, but okay. They bring it back. This one, it's like, guys, you just did it again. Like, the season they had last year, they extrapolated that over 82 games. They would have had how many points?
Yeah,
115? You know what I mean? And they, like, back-to-back, they're a great regular season team. No one disputes that. No one disputes that, you know, 80, 90% of the skeleton should absolutely stay intact. It's about picking the right pieces that need to go. And it's not about, again, it being personal. It's about changing up the mix. You know, you're trying to create a great meal here, and you're just short a couple of ingredients for some reason.
Great line.
Right?
Great.
I'll tell you
can't
what,
serve
he's been
the same
practicing
dish.
This stuff.
You can't serve the same
you
dish.
You can't keep going to the well with your lasagna. You got to tweak that thing and twerk it. And you serve up new lasagna, and it's better.
That's right. You got too many noodles right now.
Yeah.
You need a little more sauce, a little more meat, maybe a secret ingredient in there somewhere.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what about tomorrow? You bring one in for me and noodles.
I do need to fire up a sheet of lasagna here. I don't think I'm going to have enough time. I don't have the
ingredients.
I think
it'll be therapeutic for you. It could be therapeutic.
Dude, you just said it. You need a couple of ingredients. You just go to Sobeys or something after, and you get the different ingredients, and you make a lasagna tonight.
I want to make a lasagna. You're right. I do want to make a lasagna for everyone.
I've got it. You know what? With the money I took off you guys yesterday, I will have Instacart drop off some beef and stuff at your house.
No,
some
you don't have to do that.
Lasagna, all of that. What? No, you're a busy guy. You got young kids. We don't.
How about this, Noodles? You live in Woodbridge. You pick us up a lasagna in Woodbridge. My brother's got a great spot. You grab one and you bring it in.
I'll bring in lasagna tomorrow. I'll bring in lasagna.
Okay. Now we're talking. We're back on
now
track.
You know, well,
hold on a second here, though. Hold on a second here. Do you remember? We have to lay this out for the fans. Do you remember this guy's pre-COVID routine, eating over the trough? Like, can you imagine what we used to be exposed to?
How we used to eat in the studio?
Yes.
Oh,
I know. Remember they brought in that rice, and he was eating it over top of the trough of it, and it was in his mouth and dropping back into the rice.
Guys, that's right.
I didn't know we told stories out of school like this.
The community spoon.
There was a community spoon. I remember thinking that, like, you know, if we didn't have COVID before that, like that was that.
I was entitled. I picked that stuff up from Best Portuguese Chicken.
That's right. It was the Portuguese rice, and it was.
It doesn't matter. Let's move on. And
that honestly, that is how a disease starts to develop.
Oh my God.
That's how SARS-CoV-3 is going to begin with this guy with a community spoon of rice.
Because you're much better triple dipping on a chicken finger in there with real sauce.
We were all guilty. Even me. I'm grabbing pizza, taking a bite.
We're going to start telling horror stories. Let's get into it.
We're all guilty of it.
You know what the biggest horror story is that we have not brought up at any point? And I have to admit, as it goes on, I'm more and more connected and fascinated by it. This Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Unbelievable.
Like her testifying that she didn't take a massive moose in his bed and that it was actually the dog. And now I had heard that for quite some time that she was going to blame the dog. And her testimony was that the dog had issues its whole life because the dog ate some weed that Johnny Depp left around the house when it was a puppy. I saw a picture of the dog. Dog's like 4 pounds. Yeah. The moose is like 5 pounds. There's no way that was the dog. That was absolutely her. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah. A little chihuahua can't take a dump the size of a rhino's.
It was a massive, massive moose. And Amber Heard versus Johnny Depp is, I guess, the trial we all deserve at this point.
Man,
that speaks to where we are as society.
We got to get back on track here. Got to get back on track.
Back on track. All right. We're going to play a little game here. This is going to be very exciting and borderline depressing. Al's brother is going to join us. All right. And we have clips from the past 5 years, yesterday included, the post-mortem Leaf shows. So the two against Boston, the one against Columbus, the one against Montreal, the one against Tampa. So we have clips as fresh as yesterday, and we have clips from 5 years ago. Al's brother is going to come in here. He's going to play host. He's going to, at random, play a clip. We have to go around the table, and we have to try to guess which year that was from.
Oh, my God.
So we figured we'd give this a shot because we always joke about it like, ah, here it is, the 11th anniversary, doing the same show, breaking down a Leaf season that somehow fell off the rails. So Al's brother will help us with that. We got a Jays game again tonight. Big outing for Kikuchi. He's got his ERA down to 3.38, man. He's
our
starting
guy,
to chuck.
Kuchimama.
Yeah. Kuchimama's starting to feel it. Bichette had a bomb last night. They had some hits with runners in scoring position, which was big. Al's brother, Kirk, with a big two-run single in the seventh to really blow the doors off the Mariners. So we'll get to that. Barrios back in the mound. He needs to get it together. His numbers have not been great recently. So we'll tee that up later this afternoon. Confirm or deny still to come. Mike Johnson will join us. We've got the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs starting tonight. We got the conference final in the NBA starting. We got a lot going on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
In the final round, the first star, Al Brother.
All right, there he is, Le Frère d'Alain. Al's brother is in here. He's in studio looking good and feeling good. And I guess we got the NFL offseason kind of officially behind us, Al's brother. We're into some mini camps, and before you know it, they'll be in camp for real in July. And CFL, who knows what's going to happen there. Tough time for them to be dealing with a dispute. There's so much else going on in the country right now. But hopefully they figure that out soon. And good to see you, man.
Oh, good to see you guys as well. And you forgot about the USFL. Did you watch any of that?
No.
I put it on for all of 30 seconds, and I was like, yeah, no, this is why this league is going to fold. Ultimately.
What's the fans like? I heard there's like 1,500 people there.
1,500? 15 try at most games. I swear, that was my biggest takeaway. So the entire league is taking place in like Birmingham, Alabama. So there's one of the teams that is like the Birmingham whatevers. There might be 1,500 people at those games, but every other team, there might be 15 people there tops. It's actually, I thought perhaps they just didn't allow fans into the stands, but every so often you see one or two people out there, you know, crushing popcorn and beers.
It says something about a monopoly, right? Like, football is so popular, and yet if it's not the NFL or college football, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't fly. It doesn't count. Like this XFL, that's not going to do anything. And you know, the CFL up here is hugely popular, and they actually get decent numbers on TV for the CFL in the States. Like, ESPN2 will play some games, but in terms of appearances, if it's players you don't know, teams that have no history, it just doesn't work.
Look at the OHL in Toronto. I think there's OHL teams. Mississauga, there's Brandt. Like, it just, people love hockey around here, but if it's not the NHL, they're not going.
Yeah, there's too many other options. I don't blame people for that, so... Anyway, Al's brother, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're in studio because we are going to embark on something we have never done before. We are going to dig up some old clips from the last 5 years. The three of us, myself, Owen Noodles, have been doing post-mortem shows on the Maple Leaf season for a long time now. And the last 5 years in particular, that includes two against Boston, two Game 7 losses against Boston, a Game 5 loss against Columbus in the bubble, Game 7 loss against the Habs last year, and a Game 7 loss against Tampa this year. In case people are unfamiliar
before
with
we start this stupid game, are those our options to pick from?
Yes.
Okay,
so,
read it out again.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Boston 1, Boston 2, Columbus, Montreal, Tampa. All right? That's how we'll answer it, based on the team they lost to. Okay. So it's the last five seasons, yesterday included. And Al's brother, you were going to set up a clip. You're going to throw to a clip. We have not heard these. We don't know who's saying what. Maybe all three of us are included in each individual clip. And then the three of us will go around the table. We will guess which year we believe that was from. And once we are done guessing, Al's brother will reveal that individual answer and we'll move on to the next one. Capiche?
Sounds good.
Al's brother, take it away.
All right. Well, the first one, I guess I can't tell you where what it is, so it's kind of hard to set it up. But
just, you can't even give us details. Don't tip it off.
All right. Play it. Malls, just say play it.
Play it.
The fact of the matter is, you know, there's so many different things that you can look back on. Were there positives from the season? Yes, but ultimately...
Individual positives.
Yeah.
It all came down. The build-up, the training camp, the regular season, the ups, the downs. It came down to one game. To go back to what you said, if they don't get through one round this year, it's a failure.
It's a failed season.
I have no idea. That could have been yesterday.
I'm going to say this. Columbus.
Yeah.
You're on Columbus.
Columbus
right.
In the bubble.
I was saying
okay.
Columbus. Noodles?
I actually, that for some reason, it was Columbus for me, too.
Okay, you're both on Columbus. I am going to say Boston.
Two.
Boston, the second Boston loss. Boston 2. All right. Final answers. Everything locked in?
Locked in.
Locked in.
Boston 2.
April. Whoa!
What a start.
April 24th, 2019. Was it a 3-0 loss that game, I believe it was, to the Boston Bruins? Not good.
Can you believe that? That could have been yesterday. If that was yesterday, I would have said, yeah, that's yesterday, I guess.
That does sound like
what yesterday. A start. Okay, so crazy. I'm up 1-0. I don't know if we need to keep. I don't even
I don't know if you really want to win this game.
I'm kind of embarrassed by it, to be honest with you. You keep score.
I'll keep the score here.
What was the date of that again?
That one was April 24th, 2019, against the Boston Bruins, a 3-0
loss. I should have known it,
Al's
brother, and Hayes. I don't know if this is possible, but it sounded older. Is that like it was? It sounded like an old clip.
You know, it
sounded
like
3G is what it sounded like.
Something. Anyway, Al's brother, get horny and get another clip.
All right, let's pull up the second one, Malls. Let's get to it.
You look at the team on paper, you're like, that's a good team, really good team. They had a great regular season. They don't have dysfunction. They're not an unlikable team in terms of guys doing stupid things or being losers. Really, like, they've got a culture. They've got an organization that you can be proud of if you're a Leaf fan. It's just when it gets to the big moments to close, they can't close.
That's yesterday.
That was yesterday. Yeah, that's too fresh. I remember my
take. Too fresh. Fire up another one right away.
All right, we're all on Tampa, right, Al's brother?
That's
that was correct.
The one. That was yesterday. 2-1 L, record setting. Was it 5 straight game deciding eliminations?
That's
never
right.
Done in the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, setting records with that loss.
That's right.
All right, let's get to the next one, Malls.
Couple of things dawned on me last night. How any adult human being could just decide, I'm going to be a fan of this team. Like, it's one thing if you inherited this fandom, right? If you inherited this torture, I get it, right? Like, I can speak from my own experience. If you're from here or whatever, but let's say you live halfway around the world and you decide I'm going to become a National Hockey League fan and I'm just going to pick a team at random. If the Leafs come up, do over. Mully, pretend it didn't happen. Go pick a different
team.
Last
year, I know it.
I've got
last year.
Montreal.
Are these all
last
me?
Last year, Montreal.
Are these all? It's all me just yelling.
You've got the takes. You got the pulse on Leafs Nation. So of course, it's you.
Okay, what is your answer? Oh, what's your answer? Put your
last year Montreal.
Yeah, mine is last year Montreal. That was you going, why would somebody be a fan? I remember that. It was last year.
I feel like it was Columbus. I feel
that was last year Montreal 100%.
I'll say Columbus just because I'll hedge. I'll say Columbus.
This was last year, Hazy B, the debacle in Montreal. I mean, there was a lot of people who were kind of talking about turning in their fan cards at the end of the season. They said, "Check, please. Let's see back in spring 2022." Ultimately, they did the exact same thing all over again last week.
That's what's amazing. The first clip we played was from Boston. Two.
Yeah.
And that was 4 series ago.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's ridiculous. This segment alone is ridiculous enough as it is, but to have a Boston 2 option as an answer?
Not the best.
Not the best.
No, it's not
okay,
the best.
You guys nailed that. Please tell me it's the one of these other two guys frothing in this next clip. Go ahead, Els, brother.
All right, here's the next one. Play it, Malls.
It went up in flames big time last night. Last night was one of the more heartbreaking, soul-crushing sports experiences I've had here in Toronto. And I think I can speak for everybody in the city. I mean, especially Leaf fans. That one sucked. That was really tough last night.
I don't know if you felt this way, but I was waiting for it for some reason. I couldn't predict it. I didn't know it was going to happen. But I'm thinking, is this team going to collapse and let this happen again? And it was like it happened. It was like a bad goal, a bad play.
I know. That was Boston, too.
No, we've already established Boston.
No,
too.
I don't think that was Boston.
Boston won. Boston won.
That sounded more Columbus-y to me.
That was Columbus-y to me because Boston won was what year?
That was
a blowout, wasn't it? Boston won.
No, Boston won. They were had the lead going into the third period. Boston won was when Freddie Anderson just
blew up,
and
that, yes, that's my answer. Boston won.
It's Boston won. Then that's for me.
I'll go. I think you're right. I'll go. Boston won.
It was Boston won. That was the collapse.
We were told
you. And you know, wow. O says, I can't believe they're going to do it again in reference to the collapse of 2013. Right.
Right.
They did it again. They gave away the lead in Game 7 and collapsed again.
That's what threw me off. I thought that's more Columbus, the idea of referencing puking away games and series. But I guess at that point, you go back to 2018 in Boston 1, we were talking about Boston original a lot, right? Like we would have been talking about the 13 collapse a lot. We should find some clips from 13. Can you imagine those clips?
Guys.
Oh, I remember CTV Austin Delaney came in and did a bit on me. I was a moose back then too. I was Griff, and I had a dark, grungy studio, and I was snapping about. And it was like the way he phrased it was, "They choked again," said Brian Hayes, and then it was like clips of me just going nuts about.
We gotta get that clip. Oh, we gotta get that clip.
It's in the archives. It's in the archives.
So. We should be able to pull that up. We should ask somebody at CTV if they could pull up that particular.
I don't want to see it, Noodles, because I don't.
No, this is the last day. This is the last day. Al's brother, fire up something else.
All right, there's only one left, I guess, right, Al's brother?
There is one left, so I guess we might as well get to it.
Are they more talented right now than 10 years ago? Absolutely. Do I feel better about where they are today than I did 10 years ago? Yes, I do. Substantially better? I don't think I do. I can't sit here and say I feel way better about this organization today than I did 10 years ago.
Wow. That's Columbus.
Yeah. Think about that was 2 years ago, and listen to me. Like, listen to how...
Yelling and screaming.
I'm done 2 years ago. Since then, they have choked away a 3-1 lead against Montreal and then lost to Tampa. That was Columbus. Wow, they all really, honestly, if you told me they were completely different years, I wouldn't know the difference. I really don't think we would.
It's the same story every year.
Wow,
it seems to be the same story each and every year, guys.
Well,
it's the same show, right? You've been talking about it 11 years in a row. You've been doing the exact same show, and that proof is in the pudding. These takes are being said on different years, different dates of different seasons, yet it's all very similar talking points.
Yep. And yet, it's going to be probably the same structured team coming back again next year.
Doesn't it?
Well,
sure does.
I'm not convinced of that.
No, I know you're not there,
Noodles.
I'm just not there.
I'll say this. So when I heard, it was more so right at the end of Dubas' presser, he did kind of say, look, we're going to look into it. And if there is a way to make this team better, and if we do have to look into one of these core guys, we'll explore that option. I wanted to hear that today. I did not want to hear, we can, we will. So that, to me, was at least a positive that it sounds like they're open to at least listening and making change. Whether they do it or not is a totally separate conversation, but at least it sounds like they're open to it where they weren't in the past.
You know what I would have liked to hear today, whether it was true or not? Hayes, you talked about a jolt or maybe making things uncomfortable. If Kyle Dubas would have said, listen, we failed again, even though we really like our team, but everything's on the table. I'm going to explore every option. That's it. Doesn't have to point fingers or do anything, but it's like everything is on the table because we're going to find a way to break through. And maybe they're in their mind, breaking through is just rolling it back again. But, you know, at least sell to everyone, maybe a little bit, as talking about rolling into that room, a little uncomfortable feeling.
I don't like in this market saying that, Noodles.
Yeah, but that leaves
because
it up
you know
to...
why? Because then you're it's like you're sending out a vibe to other GMs. Oh, you know, this guy's desperate to make something happen.
You just
sit tight and you don't say. You have to think that and want that, but I don't think in this market you blurt that out. Because you blurt out everything's on the table, other GMs are going to be like, oh, here we go. This guy's going to call and try to ditch something off. I wouldn't make that statement in this market.
No, you just don't make the move. You know, like
you don't
you're not,
have to,
like I said, you're not making a move just to make a
no,
move.
No, I know. I
sense.
Just I think you think that and you do that hopefully, but I don't think that's something you blurt out.
So then it comes back to then, you know, the lip service, the Masai telling you know, everyone's good, and then you're the assassin afterwards. That's what basically what you're saying. Oh, is even if you think it, you don't say it because of the ramifications of this market, but you still execute, and it doesn't matter. They're not going to hold your feet to the fire of what you said 2 weeks ago.
Well, I just think from a leverage perspective, to say that you're just dying to unload something, the other guy just, I don't know, I think it just reeks of kind of desperation to change, and maybe somebody senses that. I just don't think in this market you blurt something like that out.
Yeah, I don't.
But that's got to be the case, Jamie. Everything's got to be on the table.
Everything, I mean, reasonable. You're not trading Austin Matthews, but I'm saying everything's got to be on the table as far as trying to make your team better. And you can't just go, well, that guy, I told him I'm not trading him, so that's not doing it. If somebody offers you something better, you do it.
You have to. I mean, that's at the core of, I think, what everyone's reaction would be, regardless of how optimistic you are, how great you feel about things,
right?
You know, how much you love the players, the team, et cetera, that is just the basic rule number one of anyone in management. If you can make an improvement, it's imperative you have to. And I think now more than ever, you owe it to yourself, the team, and most importantly, on the outside, the fans. But it would be easier for me to get there that this is just either a bluff or a PR angle where they know exactly what they're going to say, and then they're actually thinking behind the scenes, we're going to do something drastically different. If I had not seen the exact same movie year after year after year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the only – they literally last year had – not literally, but effectively the exact same presser, and they actually didn't do anything. Like, they really did. Yes, they signed players, which is going to happen. They made one deal at the deadline. That's it.
Fringe work.
Yeah.
Like, so last year, they effectively said the exact same thing, and they followed through on that. I just, you know, fool me once. What does George Bush say down in Texas?
You know, maybe like, Tennessee.
Yeah, just I have no reason to believe that they're not stubbornly moving forward with the plan that they put in place years ago, and they are going to will it into existence. And if it happens, awesome. Awesome, right? Like, your God, we all know this. It's been established for a long time. Whoever wins here is a God here. Right?
Yeah.
And you don't have to explain anything that happened in the past. Everything will be forgotten. Everything will melt away. No one will care. But if you don't, it you know, are you going to regret if in a year from now it fails again and all these people are out, you're looking back saying, I can't believe we didn't make an adjustment. Yeah, like, right. they are fully pot committed, it feels like to me, to, you know, the guys that they've had here for a long time. And individually, they're all really good players. Again, they're easy guys to like. We all said that yesterday. This isn't a group of players or people, more importantly, that are unlikable or make you feel like it's kind of scummy being a Leaf fan or anything like that. Not in the least.
No.
Not in the least. It hasn't.
Work hard, great guys, great work ethic, all of it. It just doesn't work.
But you know what it is?
It's hard to explain to, though. You know, I've had people call from throughout the league, you know, just looking for feedback and all of that. Like, you know, I say, explain it. Well, good team, you know, all of that, skilled. Like, okay, well, you ran into Tampa. Okay, well, you ran into Montreal. You can't just go.
Always an excuse, right?
Excuses are for losers, man. Like, that's what it is. You've got to find a way to push through. And that's why I think there is adjustments coming. And it's not just, you know, tweaking out your fourth line. Like, they've got to find a way to be harder to play against. And we all saw it. You know, we complained about reffing. Well, the reffing was there in the playoffs. Like, you can't go, you know, oh, there was no calls, cross-check gate and all of that. There was calls left and right in the playoffs. You may not have liked them, but there was calls. So you can't blame, okay, well, you can't build a team for the regular season then build another one for the playoffs. They kind of married into each other this year. Like,
what do they have, 18 power play chances?
Exactly.
Over 18.
Over 18. So that excuse is out the window, where it's like, oh, well, regular season, and then it plays different in the playoffs. Well, no, you didn't play. You didn't adjust. Every piece of ice is contested in the playoffs. Not in the regular season, in the playoffs.
So you had guys that didn't.
Yeah, exactly. There was an investment, physical investment.
There you go, investments. All right, Al's brother, we've invested in your time, and we appreciate you accepting our invitation.
Anytime, guys. You know that.
Absolutely. We're not doing this next year, I'll tell you that. I'm not doing it next year.
I hope
year.
Not. I
You're
hope
not.
Not.
Do that no, but if we if there's a scenario, I'm still not doing the segment. I can't. I can't. What? I cannot.
What do you think? Teeing up series, second series next year? What do you think?
We got to tee up a second series next year. That's our goal on this show.
You said this yesterday, Hayes, and I couldn't believe it when I actually heard it. You've been on the radio for a decade, and you've never reset a series with the Maple Leafs.
Never once.
It just really put it into perspective for me how like crushing it's been to be, you know, for Leaf fans. Like it really did.
I have done thousands and thousands of hours in this city. And never once have I said, we're back to game one tonight down at Scotiabank. I have for the Raptors.
We've never gone to commercial break saying, well, great job from the fellas. We're going to come back from a break and we're going to tee up the Florida Panthers for round two, folks.
Never once. Nope.
We'll get never to once. That next.
Next year. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
We're going to tee up round two. We'll get to that next year.
What a tease.
That's tough, man.
What a tease. Let's do it for real here. Al's brother, it's great seeing you. We'll catch you tomorrow at noon.
Thanks, guys.
There's Al's brother. He and Julia Teixeira every afternoon, the best in the business, 12 to 2 right here on TSN Radio. Leafs Panthers, round two tee up next year. Yes, Steve Aoki throw his hat into the ring for the first ceremonial pitch, the worst of all time.
Dude, he threw it over the mesh.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, I think that's better than shortchanging it, you know, like dribbling it up. Like, at least you got it off the ground. I don't think it was as bad as some other ones that I've seen over the
years. Carly Rae Jepsen?
Carly Rae Jepsen, yes. That one was a mess.
Dude, the worst ever, the King Daddy Topper, is when the frumpy cameraman get hit in the pills. It was outrageous in Boston.
Yeah, that guy got – that was like the number one on the top 10, I think. Wasn't 50 Cent pretty bad too?
50 Cent was really bad.
Like, you would think 50 Cent could throw a baseball like Randy Johnson. Look at this guy.
Like, Aoki is not even close, but it takes flight, which I think, again, is better than a dribbler, I think.
That guy's a professional partier. Like, it's unbelievable.
It seems crazy. Like, when we grew up, like, we all kind of threw a ball around, didn't you? So you just see that, and you're like, that person's never thrown a ball around.
No, he throws, like, giant cakes into pools and stuff. Like
He's a Vegas guy, isn't he?
Yes, I was at a house party with him. He was an animal, like literally throwing cakes into the pool, and like that's his whole shtick.
What do you mean, like, cakes into the pool? Like, what kind of shtick is that? Who wants that?
He's like a party animal. Well, you're not eating it. Like, the guy's like a crazy. I don't know. He's a big partier. Like, it's
no, I get it. He's a DJ, is he not?
I know. He's a DJ, but like his shtick is like, you know, like. Throws cake into the crowd and all. Like, it was honestly, it was okay. Really unique, put it that way.
I know, he's worth a fortune. Like, so, if you have a DJ spot, there's no better gig on earth than just being a DJ in Vegas. Yeah. Those guys make a fortune.
Yeah.
A fortune. And
like $30 million a year. Like, yeah, that type, like, of thing.
If you're the casino's, like, house DJ, basically, so, like, you come out for the pool party and then you're there for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday night club. Night, like, it's huge. Like, Calvin Harris is down there. You got Aoki down there. Tiesto. I went to one with Tiesto. We were at a pool party. This guy rolls out at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think he did 2 or 3 hours and left. He's just playing. I don't know. He could have had an iPod shuffle going. No one would know the difference.
Oh yeah.
He's making like $15 million a year, I heard.
And they go to, like, they either, there's a guy that lives here, and his gig is in Vegas and in Ibiza. And that's all he goes back and forth.
Back and forth.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just prints money. Prints
pretty
money.
Pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good gig. But, yeah, I think it's better if you launch the ball, even if it goes way out of bounds. It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Mary tweeting in with an interesting development here and something I think we need to investigate. She's claiming that her parents are over in Turkey getting new teeth. So it's not only hair.
Wow.
Teeth. are an option in Turkey as well.
Dude, I got new teeth last year right here on Booker's Lane. And
you paid a fortune for them, though.
Yeah, it costs money.
What do you pay in Turkey, though? Are you getting new teeth for like a couple hundred bucks?
I don't care. My dentist here, Lakeshore Dental, best dentist in Canada.
That's not true. We don't give free plugs to dentists on this show ever.
Sorry.
Ever.
Your wife's the best dentist.
I'll start plugging the best vice principals in the country. And, don't start down that game.
That's
we don't
true.
Plug
we can't
anyone
hear that.
On this show. Ever.
My apologies.
They
but
suck.
New...
That place sucks.
No.
They don't.
It's expensive, and it's worth it. And it's like to have new teeth, man.
Yes.
Like I had some nasty ass jibs going, like just brown beans.
Yeah.
Cut in half.
Mustard sandwiches.
listen, they
you
look
great.
You got great
teeth,
man.
Buddy. You got great teeth.
Those
I don't
jibs
know what
are outstanding. They're outstanding. All right, hour two coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.